Welcome to the Bodywise podcast. In this Voices of Lived Experience episode, we focus on the challenges of Christmas and New Year when someone is living with an eating disorder or in recovery. Today, Michelle has kindly offered to share her experience. Michelle is a member of the Bodywise media panel and a volunteer on our support services. She's also a binge eating recovery coach and aims to help others to feel more at peace around food, have more trust in their bodies, and to learn to love themselves for more than how they look, but who they are. Welcome to the podcast, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Ellen. It's great to be here.
I wonder if we could start out, Michelle, by sharing a little bit about yourself, how you found Christmas and New Year's throughout your life, and when things first started to develop for you.
Absolutely. So I suppose looking back at maybe my childhood at the start, I think I always thought I had a very good relationship with food as a kid. Definitely felt like I ate everything, but probably looking back, I inwardly suffered a bit with maybe low self-esteem, maybe not so much on the outside. It probably didn't seem that way. And really my kind of, and Christmas, I suppose, for us as well, was a very positive time for us as a family. We spent it with a lot of both my mum and my dad's side of the family. It was a really kind of joyous time for us. So I guess for me, New Year became a lot more difficult maybe for me. And my eating disorder actually developed in a New Year's. It started out really as a new health and fitness regime, which I now know looking back was really an attempt to control, because we'd gone through quite a stressful time as a family. Both my parents had been sick and they'd got better, and I was no longer responsible for looking after them. I was no longer watching what they ate or how much they exercised. And so I kind of looked at myself and I thought, well, if I can't control my dad, if I can't tell him what to do, maybe I can control me. Maybe I can get healthy and I'll start eating in a certain way, exercising in a certain way. And really at first people started congratulating me for going to the gym. People started congratulating me for getting fitter and healthier. But it kind of spiraled really from there. And it just got worse and more rules, more exercise, to the point where really I just started to retreat from my friends, because I didn't want to be around them, anything that might impact my quote unquote lifestyle, as I thought it was. And so it got a lot worse. And eventually I started to realize that there wasn't something quite right, and that maybe my life was a little bit more restricted. But I didn't really understand what that was. And I started reading and I started going to therapy and kind of exploring it, but still wasn't quite sure. And it was only when my mum not so subtly left a book lying around that I eventually was obviously open to picking it up and decided to have a read. And when I read through it, it started to resonate with me, and I realized that this was me and that I had actually developed an eating disorder. And that's when I kind of started on the road of recovery. But I guess back to New Year's, that was quite a tough time for me in recovery, because Christmas really was spent around my family, loved that. But family started to comment on, you know, you look so well now. And although that was so well-meaning and they meant that in the best way possible and they really cared about me, to me, I took that as, and so don't gain any more weight. You've gained enough. Like, you look healthy, you look well, to me meant you've gained enough weight now. And so I relapsed at that point for a few months, not even realizing that I had. And so that's really why I suppose New Year's is so important to me, because for me, I hear a lot about Christmas being so hard. And don't get me wrong, definitely having to push, or feeling like I had to push back on all these social events and dinners out to stick to my rules, was hard. But in a way, I don't massively resonate with it being a hard time of year, because to me, I felt like I had this strategy, I had this way to manage, and I didn't need to fall into all that post-Christmas dieting because I had this lifestyle, quote-unquote lifestyle that I thought I had. So for me, I think it's really important, I suppose, to acknowledge that not everyone maybe finds Christmas hard, but New Year's was really hard for me because it was that new year, all that dieting messaging, all the kind of new year, new me, the challenges, the well-being. And so during my recovery, that became harder and harder to push back against all that messaging. And I used to get quite angry, actually, and quite upset by it because once my eyes were open to all of that messaging, it became hard to, I suppose, unsee it.
Thanks, Michelle. You mentioned a number of things there, the isolation, things happening quite gradually and then developing over time. Comments from family and friends that can seem well-meaning, but for a person who's vulnerable to coping with an eating disorder, they can send things in a particular direction. So thank you for opening up and sharing kind of how that experience was for you. You mentioned that you found New Year's more difficult than Christmas time. I wonder if you can expand a little bit more on that.
Absolutely. I think, as I kind of briefly touched on, all that dieting messaging starts. But because I was so angry about that, I was very, like, I suppose, pushing back against that. But where it became trickier for me, maybe, was more of the well-being space, particularly in work. I had moved home one of the years I'd moved home in a December. I started back in the same company I'd worked for, I'd been living in London. And I moved back to Dublin and I was working for the same company, but a different kind of operating company in Dublin. And so it was a new team, new people. And I really wanted to fit in. I wanted to find friends and to gel with people. And I wanted to feel included. But that January, I came home and they told me they were all doing a walking challenge as a team. And that was really hard for me because I wanted to care for my recovery, I wanted to look after myself. But I also wanted to take part, and I didn't want to be the only person that stood there and said, I'm not doing this. And I also wasn't at a point where I was ready to open up about what I had experienced. So it was quite a difficult scenario. So at the time, I spoke to my husband and I spoke to my therapist, and I said, I'm really struggling with how to do both, how to feel included, but look after myself. So we kind of developed a strategy at the time where I could feel included but not let it get disordered, where I could not track my walks, but we could input in some fake numbers to make it seem like I was included. And I had walked, but I just wouldn't track the walks. And I would walk anyway, but not anywhere near, and very different in terms of walking with people and enjoying walks with my family. And I suppose for me it was more. We also made this deal that I wouldn't win. And for me, that was probably the hardest part because at the time and certainly during my eating disorder and even before that, if I was going to take part in something, I wanted to do it perfectly and I wanted to win. So that was a challenge in itself for me to take part in something and not be the winner, to take part and do badly at it on purpose. But it was a really good challenge for me in a way because it tested me out to not be perfect at everything. Could I look after myself? Could I be compassionate to myself? Could I not be checking a leaderboard all the time and hoping my name would get up there? And so it was a completely different challenge, I suppose, to what everyone else was maybe doing as part of a walking challenge. And I would like to think now, being so open about what I've experienced, being such an advocate in this space, but also I'm now in a place where I can say no to things if I don't feel comfortable doing them. I'm very comfortable setting boundaries. But in early recovery, I wasn't. And I would love to be able to say that I said, no, I'm not doing this, but I couldn't at the time. And I definitely resonate with people that are also in that place where they don't feel comfortable opening up or pushing back. And they want to balance being able to partake in things where they previously maybe would isolate themselves. But also looking after themselves. So I really struggled with that, but I think I've learned over time the power of being able to say no and set your boundaries. So yeah, I think that was definitely I suppose a story that stuck with me from New Year's.
It sounds like the support of your family and friends at that time was really important to you and helped you through that time. You know, you were dealing with something that all of the other people who were taking part in this challenge didn't know anything about. I wonder, was there a point when you felt comfortable to kind of open up to the people that you worked with or to share that with them and how that might have went for you?
Yeah, I definitely, I think I held it in probably for quite a while. Less about shame, but more so about not really wanting to have that conversation. Not really, it was like a barrier for me. If I don't cross that line, people don't have the power to come in and ask me questions about this. But people, more and more people around the office used to comment on, like, you need to get back running. I used to see you running all the time. Why aren't you doing that anymore? Or I had one person one day say, like, what happened to you? Were you the girl that used to be really like thin and used to run on the treadmill downstairs? And I was like, oh my God. And I didn't know how to deal with these conversations. So over time, I became more comfortable with telling friends, telling family. And eventually, I got to the point where I wanted to share my story. And so for me, I wanted to set up a blog. I wanted to start sharing that externally. So we were away on holidays one year, and it ended up raining, as it does, and we were in Ireland, so of course it rained. And so we got stuck in the hotel room, and I sat there on my laptop and I made a website, and I wrote essentially what was my story. And I really had taken it from, I had journaled a lot through recovery, and I had written down a lot of my story, and it really helped me to process it. So I kind of went back to old journals, and I adapted it to create my story, and eventually got to the place of sharing that on social media. And honestly, to say, I wept when I shared it, because it was that fear, it was that I had broken that barrier for me. And it, but honestly, it did feel a sense of relief, and people were so kind. The outpouring of support. And for me, it felt like this cloud had, like, this weight had been lifted off me. Like, I was no longer, and I understand, like, not everyone feels comfortable with that. Not everyone wants that to be part of their story. Not everyone wants to share it. But for me personally, it felt like I was my whole self again, that I had shared this part of my past, and now I could move on. Now I could be me, and not just the eating disorder part of me, but be my whole self. And it really helped me to start moving forward. And people didn't bring it up in work, but I did start talking more about it. I became more of an advocate in lunchtime chat, where people would talk about being quote unquote good because of what they were eating. And I would have little banter back and forth with them to challenge some of those comments that they would make about themselves or about other people. And people started to kind of support me on that and resonate with that. And it did start to change a little bit of those topics we would discuss at lunch. So, yeah, I think I acknowledge that that's not easy for everyone. And I do think you, in some, for a lot of people, you have to be at a certain point in recovery to feel comfortable doing that, because you can be very vulnerable and opening that up. For me, it was easier to lean on the people like my husband, my now husband, and my mum, because they were always there to support me through everything, through my recovery. They were just in the background there to have that conversation. So yeah, I guess it was more than opening that up wider for me. But I think also being a volunteer on the support service, I suppose I also acknowledge that not everyone has those family members to open up to. And I think that's where I suppose something like Bodywise comes in. And I love seeing that for people that maybe are at that early stage, especially of recovery, they don't know how to open up that conversation to a family member. And that's where you come in, I suppose, as a volunteer, to be that person that someone can open up to. So I think that's really a great space for people to be able to turn to if they're not at the point of being able to speak to their family as well.
Was it around that time, Michelle, when you had started the blog that you began to volunteer with Bodywise?
Yeah, so I guess for me, I got to a point where I wanted to start being able to give back. I felt very comfortable in my recovery. I was really looking after myself. I'd been a certain period of time recovered that I started to think about, okay, what can I do to start giving back? And the first thing I did was I applied to Bodywise to be a volunteer. And it I suppose for me, it was that sense of being able to give back. But it was also, I guess, for me, I had gone through recovery, so it was supporting people like me. But also, as I briefly touched on, my mum was a huge support for me, and she just walked through recovery with me. She walked through my eating disorder with me. She didn't necessarily try to challenge me, because I would have to say I'm a little bit stubborn, and she probably knew that if she really tried to challenge the eating disorder, my walls would have gone up. But she was just there, and she just briefly dropped things in conversations, or she always asked me how I was. And really, that opened up, that made conversation so much easier when I started to open up. And I wanted to be there for people like her. I wanted to be able to be not just there for the people that were suffering with eating disorders, but for the parents who felt lost, who didn't know what to do, and just needed someone to hear them out, needed to open up about their struggles too, because it's very tough being the family member that's also trying to support someone going through that. So yeah, it was definitely my way of giving back. And I think when the blog started, and I now coach people, but when the blog initially started, a lot of people started messaging me about, oh, I resonate with your story. And I guess BodyWise gave me that structured support to be structured way, I suppose, to be able to support people. Because and also respecting my boundaries, and not just having, endless messages to support people. It BodyWise was a way to receive. I work on the email support service. So it's that the email comes in, and you can take your time, you can really look after yourself, I suppose, in that way, rather than, I suppose, the just general messaging on an Instagram.
I think it's really important work, and having people with lived experience offers such a helpful perspective for people who might be going through something similar. You mentioned about your mum before, and how she really came alongside you and was, not going up against the eating disorder, but rather being there to listen to you. I wonder, was she able to avail of support for herself during that time, or kind of how she learned how to support you during that time?
Yeah, it's funny. I rarely have that conversation with her. We've talked a lot about how hard it was for her. I would say, unfortunately, I think my mum probably comes from a generation where she was not used to talking about things. And so I would say she locked a lot of that inside. And I think that wasn't necessarily good for her. Now, she had my dad there, and the two of them would have, they're a great support to each other, to lean on each other. But I think she would also feel that an essence of being worried about opening up to friends. Like, am I broaching Michelle's boundaries if I open up to people? And I would hope that looking back, I would have absolutely supported her in being able to reach out to a friend, reaching out to a support service like BodyWise. And I would hope that other parents would do that and not feel that need to hold it all inside, to try and be stoic, to try and manage it all themselves, because I think we've reached this stage where you don't have to do that all on your own. And having seen the benefits I've gotten through therapy and opening up and having coaches and therapists to support me on my journey, I think my mum has seen the power of that, and would be so much more open to that world. And we would talk a lot more openly now. And we always did, but I don't think she felt that she could go and open up. And I think often, I think as a parent, now that we discuss it, she says, oh yeah, it was really hard. But I think she saw me suffering, and she saw, but it's not as, like, I'm not suffering as much as my daughter is suffering. And I think it's important to acknowledge as a parent that it's hard, and that it's okay to struggle with it. It's okay to open up and to need that help.
Yeah, that's a great message. I wonder if there's anything that you would say to someone who might be finding this year difficult, whether it's a person themselves or their family member.
Yeah, I think as we've kind of gone through a bit, it's firstly, I suppose, opening up that conversation. I mean, my husband during my recovery, and my mum throughout both recovery and during when I was struggling and didn't even know who I was. But having those people there, I suppose, to keep an eye on you, giving them that permission to maybe check in with you. And I think sometimes, especially with my mum, she would have been afraid maybe to say the wrong thing, and as I said, in case my walls went up. But giving them that permission to keep an eye on you, to check in with you, because it's not an easy time of year, and having those extra people there, especially I suppose around the Christmas, the New Year's, it's very, I want to say, easy to fall back in and to relapse. And having gone through that myself, I think it's okay to acknowledge that I just want someone else's eyes. I want to have those check-ins. I think secondly, I'd say, I suppose, is lowering those expectations on yourself, because there's so much pressure to set New Year's resolutions, to be productive in the new year, to change who you are, to challenge yourself. And I think it's just, I suppose, watching that pressure that you're putting on yourself, watching the expectations and how you're speaking to yourself, because you don't have to set New Year's resolutions. And, you can set ones that are less based around your diet or your body, but you also don't have to set any at all. And if you do want to set them, I think a really nice way to do it is in terms of intentions. How can I look after myself better this year? Could I take up a mindful practice and try and do that? Or could I try and journal every week? Just journal out my thoughts and trying to set more intentions, but just not feeling that so much pressure. And I think I mentioned it to you, Ellen, but is that I'd read this book and it spoke about it, and I'm gonna absolutely butcher the quote, but it was essentially something like that: we all do our best every day, but your best changes every day. And so there's going to be days where your best is a pretty low par to what your best used to be or your best might be in the future. And I think it's just acknowledging that your best for the following year, for this January, might just be to make it through, might just be to survive. And that's okay. Not having to challenge yourself, not having to change everything all at once. But I think as well is kind of tied to that, I suppose, is that often there's a lot of push, especially I suppose on social media, to you go from, and I certainly did initially in my recovery, is going from trying to eat, quote unquote, perfectly, exercise perfectly, and to trying to recover perfectly. And that kind of mentality of whether it's trying to recover perfectly or go all in or do it all now, it doesn't have to be. And sometimes it's okay to look at your routine, look at your, where are my safety nets? Where can I challenge myself this week? What am I okay with challenging this week? I don't have to do it all right now. And especially in a January where there's so much of that messaging out there, you don't have to change it all right now. That it's okay to look at if there's five things within your day where they're very tied to your eating disorder, can you challenge one today? And it doesn't all have to be all at once. And that recovery is such a long process that it is that age-old quote of saying that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And it is, because you are untangling a large part of yourself. So it's okay to do that gradually and not to try and overdo it and then, I suppose, risk panicking and not knowing how to manage. And like it's okay to try and challenge it all, but it doesn't have to be that way, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's a really important message. We often hear of that transition from the eating disorder and trying to do the eating disorder, quote unquote, perfectly, as you say, and then moving on to recovery and trying to do recovery perfectly, when we know that, it's not linear. There's lots of ups and downs along the way for people, and that, as you say, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So thank you so much, Michelle, for going through all of those really important points and sharing your lived experience, and for all the work that you do on our support services as a volunteer, and the work that you do on our media panel and sharing your story as well. So I wonder if you've anything else to add before we finish up.
No, I think just to kind of reiterate what I said earlier is just to do use the support services. They are there, that over, whether it's over Christmas or it's over New Year's, use family, use the support services. They are there. They are free. That's the kind of support. It doesn't need to be all everything right now. And just to lean on those people that are there and that are around you. And if they're not, if you don't have those people that you feel like you can lean on right now, that's where that support services comes in. Because definitely having seen the power of that as a volunteer for some people, I would be a huge advocate for yes, reaching out. And if you're a parent, also doing the same, because any extra bit of support that can really get you through such a tough time.
Thanks so much, Michelle. I'm sure your story will resonate with many people. If anyone has been affected by anything that we've discussed today, please know that our support services are available. We do have an upcoming family support program in January, so you're welcome to sign up to that. If you're supporting someone with an eating disorder, you can email pillar@bodywise.ie. So that's pillar@bodywise.ie. Our email support service is also available throughout the Christmas, and that can be reached via alex@bodywise.ie. So that's alex@bodywise.ie. Thank you for listening.